From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. I am in the Clark Ford studio. Neil is in some type of hotel room somewhere in Arkansas. I don't really know.
Texas, actually.
Oh, you're in Texas. Yeah, that's true. Never mind. You're in Texarkana, so it's Texas. Sorry.
Yeah.
Is there a Texarkana, Arkansas, too?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't explore.
You didn't? I hear there's like probably a ball of wax or maybe some yarn or something in that area that's a good tourist trap.
Oh, good. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, there's a hop in Applebee's down the street.
I did walk to the Outback.
Oh, you went to the Outback?
I did.
So I was right on that one.
The first five innings of the Cubs game at the Outback.
Okay. So we will discuss why Neil is in Texarkana in a second. Also, we'll talk to Jeffrey Wright. We'll go over Neil's picks, which are up at the site at rebelgrove.com. We'll talk about Chandler Parsons getting booed last night. And more with one Mr. Jeffrey Wright here in a little bit on the show. Ole Miss LSU 6:15 Saturday night from Vaughn Hemingway Stadium. When you come into town this weekend, make sure you're following Oxford Exxon because you can get free gas Fridays. They're going to pick three winners. You get a free tank of gas if you are in town. You follow the Oxford Exxon and you tweet at them when they mention that here soon this week. Also at the Oxford Crystal, you can get 49-cent wings. Basically, they are, again, paying you to eat wings this week, so check those out. At the Crystal for college, for catering in the Grove, or NFL Sunday if you so choose. And always, the daiquiris, the lunch specials, the ribs, and the catering menu this weekend at the Oxford Exxon with ribs and pulled pork. And again, I am coming from the Clark Ford studio.
And don't forget, by the way, before I tell you about Clark Ford, don't forget, I'm going to reiterate what you just said. We'll have a Oxford Crystal Beer Garden up
within
today,
the next 2 hours.
49-cent wings, awesome all weekend long, whether you're going into the Grove, whether you're recovering on Sunday from a day in the Grove, whether you're just hanging out for your NFL Sunday, 49-cent wings there at the Oxford Crystal. We're coming to you, at least Chase is, from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. You call that number. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale. It's just a really phenomenal car buying experience. It's very simple, and we'll make it even better. At the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Any of the above, $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford. By the way, speaking of Billy's Pecans, if you'd like to order some, if you make an order from Billy's Pecans, it's billyspecans.com, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. At the end of your order, on the promo tab, enter the word, one word, Soft Verbal, and you'll get a free 8-ounce bag of their pecan sandies. They're fantastic. I've had them. I was going to have more of them. My daughters ate the rest of them. It's double the deliciousness. Their pecan sandies are not like your average grocery store sandies. They're small, bite-sized cookies. They melt in your mouth. They're so good. Again, billyspecans.com, promo code Soft Verbal.
So we are adding a producer to the fold. Neil headed to Texas or in Texas to pick up another black lab. Have you seen him? Are we doing it this morning? What's the schedule?
Get him this morning after you and I get finished.
Got a name?
I'm letting the kids name him.
So you have no idea yet at all? You haven't talked about it or anything?
We've talked about it. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. You'd think I did it. My name that I came up with was Russell Westbark. I was vetoed.
Okay. Go ahead.
Believe it or not, and you won't believe it, but it will show you what our house is like here lately. My daughters voted for Rizzo.
Your daughters?
I know you won't believe me, and I can't do anything to make you believe me.
Your daughters?
Yes.
Your daughters picked your son's favorite player?
Yes.
Okay. No cute little pun or anything, just Rizzo, though?
Yep.
Okay.
I wanted Russell Westbrook. I thought that was good.
That's not bad. It's okay.
I was told it was terrible, and I thought it was really good.
But, I mean, you're just calling him Russell, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to call him Russ. Gus and Russ.
Okay. See, that's not bad. I like it.
I know.
I actually like it better than Rizzo, if you want to be honest.
You know, sometimes democracy, as many people in our country are experiencing right now, sometimes democracy does not deliver what you want.
I mean, you didn't necessarily vote for this animal to begin with, and now you're not getting to name it either. I mean, it seems a little bit, it really kind of seems kind of communist since you're the one that's going to feed and walk it 98% of the time. No offense.
I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
It tells you that you should exercise your right to vote.
It's true. I still can't get rid of this cough. It won't go away. It's been like 2 weeks.
It's really been bad the last week.
I take medicine and everything. I don't know. It just will not go away. It stays. All right. Andy Kennedy video up at rebelgrove.com. He spoke yesterday at Media Day after we talked about the preseason picks and all that stuff. Andy talked 20 minutes or so. So Chris Lee from VandySports.com, his guys helped us out with that. We appreciate it. And you can see that up at rebelgrove.com. Matt Luke spoke last night. That is up at rebelgrove.com as well. I thought Matt was very reasonable last night. I thought he emphasized the correct things, talked about, you know, he said he showed Ole Miss the film against Vanderbilt. They went back and watched some of the film against Cal and said, the version of you that played Vanderbilt would beat the version of you that played Cal. He goes, look, I can't control the opponent, can't control anything about how that works. We have to be able to control that each week the team that we are could beat the team we were last week. And I thought, you know, that does simplify this thing down. As dumb as it is and kind of as cliche as it is, that simplifies this down to where that is kind of the purpose of progressing throughout the season.
Yeah, it is. Listen, I think I know that we're a win or two away from people having the debate, and my stance on the debate will frustrate some because I think you wait until there's an entire body of work, you conduct a coaching search, and then you hire the best guy, and if that's Matt Luke, it's Matt Luke, and if it's not Matt Luke, it's not Matt Luke. That being said, through six games, despite the fact that they have a 3-3 record and they lost a game early that they probably could have, should have won, depending on how you feel about Cal, I think he's done a really good job. Now, that being said, I suspect Justin Wilcox would say if the version of Cal that beat Washington State played the version of Cal that beat Ole Miss, the version that beat Washington State would win that game. That means that you're coaching well and that your team is progressing and it's improving week to week, that it's making progress. I mean, that's probably a true statement for a lot of good coaches, but I think Matt Luke's done a really good job, especially when you consider the almost kind of constant distractions that are around that program. And there are a lot of distractions around that program that you don't see or read about just because of the presence of the possibility of crippling NCAA sanctions. That as long as that is a possibility, there are distractions around the program that are created externally.
Yeah, what to this point through how many ever games, he has shown to be the right person or at least an incredibly capable person to hold them together through this. I mean, when it first happened with Freeze and everything, he was the guy that said, hey, I played in the same situation. We had sanctions. We had different things. We had, you know, distractions. He could do that. And then now, to his credit, and we've said it every game, they got beat really bad against Alabama. They had a bad first half against Auburn. They lost to Cal. They've played hard throughout. And that can't be undersold because that's all this is about is, hey, if you play hard, from a coach standpoint, as far as keeping your team motivated and into the season, that's all you can kind of ask for. And they've done that pretty much as well as could be hoped, I would think, for an Ole Miss fan base to this point.
I agree completely. I mean, there were people that talked about the Alabama game that they rolled over or whatever. I never thought that. No. I thought that entire game they played hard. They were overmanned, overmatched, undermanned. And then against Auburn, the first half just went badly. And frankly, at halftime, I thought, if I'm them, it's real tempting to roll over right here. And since then, they've played well. And now I think they play a team that they match up with pretty well. Now, I think Saturday they've got to play a really good football game to be in position to win. I don't think they have to be perfect. I don't think they have to be magical. But I think they have to play a really good football game to be in a position to win it in the fourth quarter. I don't think they can be sloppy and beat LSU. I think, all in all, LSU is a more talented, deeper team than they are. But LSU is suspect in a couple of spots. Offensive line, quarterback, where Ole Miss has the ability to sort of take advantage of that. Now, LSU's good in the secondary. If you get into third and long all day long against LSU, their athletes are going to make plays. So this will be an interesting game, but I have zero doubt that Matt Luke's team will be motivated to play, that they will play hard, that they will play with energy and all of those things. I don't think those are question marks.
No, I mean, the thing, and I'll say this to Jeffrey in a little bit, so I'm kind of repeating something, but the two things that if I'm Ole Miss would be a concern are, A, as you said, strength on strength. LSU is in a better situation because their back seven's pretty good defensively. Ole Miss's strength, obviously passing offense. And then LSU's offensive strength is speed to the corner and running the football, something that Ole Miss has not proven it can consistently stop. And then second, the thing that kind of got glossed over a little bit against Vanderbilt, because they did score 57 points, and that's the point of playing offense, they were bad on third down. They cannot be that bad on third down against LSU because you're not going to hit as many big plays in the secondary. You got to drive the field more. So even if they run the ball somewhat similar to what they did against Vanderbilt, they're going to have to keep the chains moving, have to be better on third down.
Yeah, they've got to be better on third down. They have to be able to run the football with some degree of success. I think Patterson and that receiving core are so good that if you can consistently get third and three, third and four, not only will you get some conversions, I think you'll break some big plays. And then defensively, you just nailed it, man. You cannot let that speed get to the edge. It's going to be a challenge. You're not going to go out between now and Saturday and recruit a bunch of fast linebackers to show up and play Saturday. The one thing they have to do defensively, and I think they've done this better the last couple of weeks, but they have to take a jump. They've got to really tackle soundly against LSU. You've got to hit guys, at least slow him down long enough for your friends to show up to help you. You can't let him start breaking tackles and get into the secondary free. I'm hesitant to say this to you because of your affection for Mr. Webb.
Yeah.
Darius Geis is a better open field runner than Mr. Webb.
Oh, I mean, here on the podcast in a little bit, and also to you just off air yesterday or day before, I criticized Mr. Webb. So, you know, I mean, it's...
You did, and it was...
It was accurate.
It was disappointing, but it was accurate.
It sucks for him, but it is what it is. I mean...
Yeah. Sucks for your relationship with him.
Yeah, he's lost a step.
He has taken some hits, man, over the years.
4 years as the primary ball carrier for the Vanderbilt Commodores will knock some tread off those tires. You know.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons that a lot of running backs go to Alabama is they know they're not going to be the bell cow for 4 years.
And I mean,
they don't want to be.
And I mean,
they want to have a limited role, be the bell cow for 1 year and go pro.
And, I mean, look, the Webb thing has been funny, and it's been the running joke for year over year over year. He's not as talented as, like, maybe Zach Stacy, you know what I mean, like comparing Vanderbilt running backs and different things. So, anyway. But, anyway, yeah, Geis is a much better running back, and they're going to see a different presence in the backfield for LSU this week. All right, we're going to move around a little bit. Seeing, at least on our board, some Dan Mullen Tennessee rumors pop up. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Well – say this. He's represented by Jimmy Sexton. And Jimmy Sexton, among many programs, is tied in really tight at Tennessee.
Saw some columnist at Tennessee this morning, forgot who it was, ask if Vanderbilt, Tennessee had become a better rivalry than Tennessee and Alabama. He did his job today, son.
Oh, yes.
He's getting comments and clicks and also kind of being accurate at the same time. Ooh. Good day for whoever that guy was.
You know, Chase, when I was in Alabama, Alabama, Tennessee was a big damn deal. Tennessee has been so non-competitive in that rivalry for the last several years that it's difficult for me to imagine. I'm trying to think from an Alabama fan standpoint, the games they've gotten up for year after year. Frankly, I mean, obviously Alabama-Auburn, obviously Alabama-LSU. Mm-hmm. Frankly, Alabama-Ole Miss has been a bigger rivalry the last half decade than Alabama-Tennessee.
Yeah. You could even argue A&M.
Yeah,
because of Manziel.
Yeah, you're right. You could at least argue it. I don't know that you would ultimately win the argument.
But I mean, they haven't. Tennessee hasn't won this game in 10 or 12 years.
Yeah. I among many things, Neil's picks this week is absolutely full of snark and sarcasm, but. One of the things I did ask in Neil's picks, and we'll have the debate as we go along, is the Tennessee job a good one? What makes it good? They've got a really big stadium. It's really big.
They do.
They've got a cool game day tradition where you take the boat up the river and stuff. That's cool.
They do.
That's cool. They've got some tradition. Bully for them. They're not in a fertile recruiting area at all.
Memphis is more Ole Miss than Tennessee.
Huh?
Memphis is more Ole Miss than Tennessee.
Yeah, and Nashville's not just chock full of football players. And those that are from Nashville, I mean, Alabama gets in there. Auburn gets in there. Ole Miss gets in there. Lots of people recruit Nashville. It's become such a – it's not just a Tennessee town anymore. As the town has grown – and become so popular, and it is wildly popular as a place for people to live, the people that move there aren't necessarily tied to Tennessee. I just don't know. Yes, Tennessee has a lot of money, but everybody has a lot of money. You can't just throw money at a job anymore and make it a good one. It just doesn't work like that. I'm not convinced that's a great job. I'm just going to say that. I'm not convinced that's a great job. There was a day where that was a great job. I would argue that day has passed.
I liked your Nebraska comparison.
You know what? I did too, and it will get lost in there because of all the other baloney. But Tennessee and Nebraska have a lot in common. There was a day, not two decades ago, when Nebraska was a big damn deal. And Nebraska has great fan support, and it has great tradition. And all of that, it does. It's sea of red, sea of orange, all that stuff. But Nebraska's not chock full of D1 football players. So you've got to be able to recruit nationally. And I think that's harder to do today than it was in the past. Kids can see everything. It's just the number of national powers in college football have really been reduced to a small handful.
The one thing that I will give Tennessee over Nebraska, and this is so from the outside looking in because we don't cover Nebraska whatsoever, but they come off to me as a fan base that not only wants to win, but kind of wants you to win one way, kind of in that Tom Osborne way. Whereas Tennessee just have more dang points than the other team. I don't care if you're selling your soul to the devil. I don't care what you do. Just win. Nebraska, more provincial, more – there's something about them that bugs me on. Not just win, but win the way we'd like you to win.
You know, you're right. I've never really thought about it that way, but they do. Because I saw some of this with the Mike Leach stuff. People, Nebraska people kind of saying, that's not the way football's played.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think Tennessee just wants to score more points.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
Especially. I mean, what's weird about Tennessee is that Jones, according to Rivals, 24/7, Scout, everyone. I mean, I'm not – this isn't a Rivals.com statement. Everyone has said Jones has recruited at an elite level at Tennessee. And yet it clearly hasn't worked.
He's an apparent horrific program manager. I think one thing that gets overlooked so much, and maybe it's not overlooked, maybe it's just you got to prove it right or wrong, is when you get these mid-major level coaches, the non-Power 5 coaches, and put them in Power 5 jobs in pressure cookers like Tennessee, how can they handle the enormity of everything? Everything that goes on with it, how can they manage that? And he appears to have failed at that. He's really good at the day-to-day. I think he freaks out on game days because of some of the pressure. But he's really good recruiting. He's really good as a promoter as long as he's winning a little bit, which is any coach. But everything kind of gets to him. And that is a huge unknown. His Ole Miss is dealing with a coaching search right now. And you've got guys where, you know, hey, here, this is the new hot ticket group of five coach out there. That's the thing. How can they handle everything? And Butch has shown to be a complete utter failure at that so far.
Yeah, how you handle media, how you handle some criticism, how you handle some
adversity. I mean, that dude's losing booster club meetings right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is. It just – so many people kind of try to do the Saban thing, and it doesn't work. You have to be – whatever you have to just be yourself. Whatever yourself is, when you start changing your personality for the sake of the job, that moment forward, you're lost. It's over.
It was John Adams, by the way, of the New Sentinel that had that.
I know John.
I believe that was it.
He's my point. John's, you know, been in Tennessee for a long time, and so a guy like John Adams. Kind of like a Rick Cleveland, that kind of been there a long time, has covered Tennessee when it was really good, has covered Tennessee when it's really bad, has covered lots of coaches, he's covered scandal. If you're a Butch Jones kind of guy, making the John Adams of the world your enemy is an error.
Yeah, he goes here. We got a second before we go to Jeffrey in a minute. Tennessee fans once looked down on the in-state rivalry with Vanderbilt, and why wouldn't they? From 83 to 04, Tennessee won 22 consecutive games. Then after Vanderbilt upset the Vols in 2005, Tennessee reeled off six more consecutive victories. Nine of those 28 were by 29 or more points, seven were shutouts. Back then, no one could have imagined reading Tennessee versus Vanderbilt's a better rivalry than Tennessee versus Alabama, but you just did. Never mind that no one's written a book titled The Fourth Saturday in November, or all the tradition behind the Vols and Ties annual October get-together, which will be resumed Saturday at Bryant-Denny. You can't hide from the facts. UT has lost 10 consecutive games against Alabama. Only two of those games were decided by fewer than two touchdowns. Conversely, Vanderbilt has beaten the Vols three times in the past five seasons, and two of its victories were by double-digit margins. As much as the Alabama-Tennessee game might mean to Tennessee, it has become little more than a speed bump for the Tide.
He's right, and in the era in which we live, I feel like I'm channeling Houston Nutt. There's just not a lot of – when you talk about rival, about tradition and history, in the eyes of the people that you are recruiting, 5 years is about as far back as you can realistically go.
Well, there was a little bit of a chuckle yesterday. Ross Dellinger, who joined us on the podcast yesterday, was at Ole Miss's media gathering with Matt last night. And he asked Matt, he said – do you have to mention it to your players? I mean, how many of your players even know who Ed Orgeron is as far as he was the Ole Miss head coach? And Matt kind of laughed and goes, far fewer than you would think.
Yeah. Well,
they have no idea who even is.
Ed Orgeron was the head coach at Ole Miss for the last time 10 years ago next month.
Yeah, as you said yesterday, they were 12, the oldest.
Yeah, and I mean, how many of those kids were following
Shea Patterson
Ole Miss
was 10.
Football religiously at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Rawlings.
That's about it.
I mean, there might be one or two more.
DK Metcalf. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking a handful of kids. That's not a criticism of – that's the same thing anywhere. If you – if I were to go to Florida right now and talk to Florida kids about –
Hey, let's talk about Ron Zook.
The Gators program 10 years ago, what were you thinking then? The list of people who would be able – it would be less than 10 current Florida players could tell me anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I also would have liked Matt to have the recorders off because when he walked in, we were all the media was sitting there talking to Ross, so we were telling Orgeron stories or whatever, and Matt gets up behind the podium, and he was kind of laughing, and somebody goes, yeah, we were telling O stories, and Matt just kind of deadpanned and goes, yeah, I got a few. I said, yeah, I'd love to hear them, Matt. I would love to. Let's go sit down and have story time. But
yeah, that would be interesting because yeah. I've heard a few that still haven't come to light that are just toe curlers.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, we'll go to Jeffrey in a second. First, the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. That's a pretty big deal. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So, that's about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or J Lowe. That's J-L-O-W-E. At communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you, I'm sure that Jeffrey and Chase talked about picks. Neil's picks presented by Vitamin 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments. Still the same IVs and shots as before. They've added the cryosauna, the infrared sauna. They've still got the overserve treatment if you need that over the course of the weekend, and you just might. They've also got the smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. It's locally sourced. Same number as before, 662-638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. IVs and shots Friday through Sunday. info@vitamend.com is the email address. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. Did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero Miller State Farm challenges you to give them a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give them a call, go to Google and read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. They're fantastic. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings. Call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. And don't forget, if you want to sign up your son or daughter for Oxford Park Commission basketball, ages 5 through 15, that is ongoing. It's www.oxfordparkcommission.com.
Now we'll go to Jeffrey Wright on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Jeffrey back in this week for his weekly segment of Neil's Picks. You can find those up at rebelgrove.com. Last week drew a little attention, so we'll go into this week's games in a minute. However, Jeffrey, Grizzlies with their opener last night. I read Calkins' column this morning, focused on Chandler Parsons scoring 6 points, getting booed, getting some Bronx cheers. Before we get to picks, I'm just kind of curious, where do you stand on college or professional or unprofessional? And kind of the booing the home team, and then specifically in this incident.
Yeah, I've never cared. If you if you bought a ticket and you want to boo, by all means, go and boo. If you want to cheer, go ahead and cheer. I do kind of expect that, like, if you're going to boo, you're going to boo when it's appropriate, and you're going to cheer when it's appropriate. But, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, hey, Chandler, I mean, I'm not saying you deserve to get booed at your own home crowd, but, I mean, to me, it's like, hey, man, that's part of the territory. It's like, we're paying you, not we, but the organization pays you $25 million for a reason, per year. Like, it's not like, okay, you just get $25 million and everything's, you know, rainbows and sunshine. Like, that's kind of what comes with the territory. It's the same thing with, like, football coaches that don't understand, like, part of the reason when they pay you $6 million is you have to do the things that you don't want to do. Like, that's just part of it. It's not just, hey, they're paying you $6 million because you won 9 games last year. Like, that's part of it. Like, that's with the responsibility comes more money. It's like better jobs usually pay more, but there's usually also more expectations, more responsibility. The problem with Chandler is it's largely based on injury. And the frustration with Chandler stems from the fact that because they gave Chandler so much money, they were not able to keep Tony. They weren't able to keep Randolph. And it's really hamstrung them as an organization. And truth be told, it's put a ceiling on where they can go, because they're essentially paying $25 million per year to a guy that's more or less dead weight. The problem is the frustration should not be at Chandler. Someone put a contract in front of Chandler and he signed it. Like, that's not Chandler's fault.
So are you telling me that Chandler Parsons is the NBA version of Ed Orgeron?
Yes, to an extent, except Chandler did have a resume that at one point, not suggesting that he was a max deal player, but he happened to be the right guy at the right time. He was a free agent in the perfect offseason. So because he was the free agent in that perfect offseason, he ends up being a guy that gets overpaid for that reason. The difference between Chandler and Ed is Ed had no reason to become a head coach. At least Chandler did have a resume that suggested this guy was a top level NBA starter. He was not an all-star. He was not a elite level, you know, top 10, top 20 player, but this guy was definitely, you know, a top half NBA starter and a guy that a type of player that the Grizzlies had never had. And in theory, Chandler Parsons made the Grizzlies a legitimate possible team that could be a 2-3-4 seed in the West. The problem was Chandler Parsons' knees in practice doesn't make Chandler Parsons in theory a reality.
Yeah, I mean, the hope was that he would be kind of the Robin for Gasol, the way he was able to do with Dirk for however long he did it.
100%. Or, you know, that, I mean, the hope was, hey, you're getting a guy that's 18-7 you know, a legitimate perimeter scoring option that backs everyone out of the paint so that Mark can absolutely dominate and it gives somebody for Conley to work off. I mean, the truth to be told, it was designed to kind of be a triangle type offense. I mean, you had Conley at the point, you had Gasol in the middle, and you had Chandler on the wing. The frustration should not be with Chandler, in my opinion. When I say, like, when it, responsible booing, like responsible ringing of the cowbell, you know what I mean? When I say that, you have to understand what you're booing. It's not Chandler's fault. If you want to boo someone, the problem is the people that deserve booing are the front office. But you can't really boo the front office, so it's all this frustration that pours out onto Chandler.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Opening night, he was whatever last year too. It was just, it was kind of the perfect cocktail last night in a lot of ways.
Sure,
he misses the free throws of all things. You know what I mean? Like, it was everything.
Yeah.
So.
No, he misses the free throws, and Tony Allen was in the building, and by God, we don't have our boy anymore because of this pretty little prima donna. You know, I mean, that's it. It's just, that's why you don't want to say it sucks to be Chandler Parsons, because it doesn't, but. It is one of those situations where you basically, unless you play well every single night, and the truth is, I don't think he's physically capable of playing well. He's just going to be in this no-win situation, man.
Yeah. All right, on to picks. Last week, everybody over 500 for the week. Everybody continues to be over 500 for the year. Neil McCready, 5-2 overall, 4-3. Jeffrey Wright, 5-2 overall, 4-3. And I was 5-2 overall, 5-2 against the spread. The one difference being Missouri did hold on and cover against Georgia for the season. Neil, 53-12, 30-24. I'm 54-11, 29-25. And Jeffrey with a one-game lead, 54-11. 31-23, only five games this week, including a couple duds at least.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Let's no longer say the overall record. Who cares? Like, that's not what we're.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not picking the overall. Like, if that were the case, then let's just go pick Vegas favorites every week if we're just trying to win straight up.
That's a good point. I mean, even some of the scores would be different if we were just picking the favorite. I would pick different things.
Sure.
So that's
so. Fair. Yeah.
Only what we're making money off of.
Yeah, so. Well, the point is we're picking against the spread, so it doesn't matter. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. If you win against the spread, I don't care whether or not you won the game straight up.
Yeah. All right, Idaho, the Vandals plus 15 at Missouri, 11 a.m. SEC Network. I think Drew Locke's going to have a big day, Jeffrey.
I tend to agree. The problem, the holdup here was that Idaho actually has a top 30 defense.
Who have they played?
I mean, the problem is that's usually Idaho usually has to play a pretty good schedule because everyone pays him about $800,000 to come, or 800, or now I guess hell probably pays him over $1 million to come play him.
That's fair.
I mean, they're sitting at 2-4, but they have a top 10 pass defense and a top 30 overall defense. But it just comes down to you're an SEC football team. If you cannot beat Idaho by two scores, we need to reconsider your application that you submitted a few years ago.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, we've all got them covering. Neil has a complete blowout. I do not see a complete blowout, but I do think they can cover 15 points. And it's kind of your thing. I've been bitten a lot this year on trying to cover that medium line with the heavy underdog, and it's not really a good place to be.
Well, the problem is on those middle lines, like, they have to be good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a 14-point line, it's just like, they have to be good enough to actually do something. I mean, the other thing with Missouri is Missouri did actually score on Georgia. I mean, they made Georgia relatively uncomfortable for a half.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. Idaho did beat South Alabama.
We did see the weakness of Georgia.
Throwing them a little bit.
That secondary's bad, baby.
Yeah. Now, there's a ceiling to Georgia. They're a fun team. They're a good team, but there's a ceiling.
And in fairness to Georgia, I think they actually displayed that against Vanderbilt. It's just Vanderbilt wasn't good enough to capitalize. Like, there were guys open for Vanderbilt, but Shurmur just kind of stunk.
I don't even want...
In fairness, he stunk because he was getting harassed, but, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't even really want to watch this game. I did not want to pick it. If we got a pass for the week, this was easily going to be my pass. Tennessee plus 34.5 at Alabama, 230 CBS. It's a line that continues to go up, I think, some places. 36, 37, 38 as of this morning. I picked Alabama. We all picked Alabama. But that is just such a huge number in this game.
It is a huge number, but I started thinking about this yesterday. If they're – in order to be able – like, you know what I mean when we always hear, oh, a coach played to keep the game close. He didn't play to win the game. Well, to do that, you have to be able to get first downs. And I don't see how Tennessee gets first downs. First off, Garantano sucks. Like, I know all these Tennessee people think that, like, oh, this guy should have been playing the whole year. It's like, at a certain point, Quentin Dormandy won the job. Butch Jones would have liked to have played Garantano. Garantano sucks, and he can't move the ball either. And then you start looking at it from the flip side. Alabama's second team is not untalented, and as soon as they hit the field just sprinting. And basically, they can just kind of keep running it up. So it's like, I would rather take my chances with Alabama's second team playing hard than take my chances on Tennessee actually trying to be competent.
No, with Alabama, it's do you get the game where the second team comes in, or do you get the game where Nick kind of coaches against himself to gripe later? The Colorado State game, in recent years, the Charleston Southern-type games. Do you get that, or do you get the second team? Because like you said, you were kind of making a joke, but Alabama's second team would be at least a candidate for the third best team in the SEC. also, they're playing hard to get playing time. So there's no let off whatsoever with that group.
No, and that's I would rather take my chances betting on that. I think you can more predictably bet that than you can predictably bet, oh, Tennessee's going to look good for about a quarter. I mean, that's essentially what you're asking.
Tennessee has not scored a touchdown in give or take 11 quarters since the first half of the UMass game, whenever that was. By comparison, the last time Ole Miss had a streak that long was that nice 2011 team to end the season. So that's what the Vols are looking at offensively.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team to be lumped in with.
Yeah, you know, if you're picking against them, it definitely is. All right, the one game I think this week where we actually have a difference, Kentucky plus 11 at Mississippi State, 3 p.m. SEC Network. Kentucky 5-1, trying to get another win. They are not a good football team. I do think they score points. For some reason, I just think both sides score and both teams are kind of around 30 in this one.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like that I have a strong conviction one way or the other. Basically, what it came down to me is I believe that Kentucky's averaging in conference play. They're averaging giving up over 5 yards a carry and damn near 7 yards a play. If you look at teams that Mississippi State feasts on, it's those kinds of teams. So, and by the way, that includes Florida, an offense that included Florida, Florida before Luke Del Rio. That was Luke Del Rio's one quarter where he came in and they thought he was, Luke Del Rio was the savior of Gator offense, which has to be the saddest realization you could possibly have. But to me, like, that's just kind of, that's the recipe for State covering. And then the other flip side of the equation is, if Dan has anything to say about it, Mullen's going to try and cover. So basically, I get a coach that 100% knows the line, and I get a coach that, if he has anything to say about it, is going to try to cover the line. So I'd rather bet on that than bet on, you know, Kentucky keeping it. I mean, I can see what you're saying because State's secondary is garbage, but, man, I just... betting on Johnson yet again, it's just not for me.
Yeah,
I make a habit of not betting on Johnson.
Steven Johnson is not really talented. He just sort of shows up enough to kind of let him be that really, really low-rent gamer that makes me wonder occasionally.
Yeah, the biggest thing is they let him throw. Like, he's like a volume quarterback. Like, he gets, like, normally, like, if you and I were coaching that team, we wouldn't let him throw as much as he does, but for whatever reason, Kentucky's like, well, that's all we got. So they just roll him out there and they just let him keep chunking it. And eventually, like, the law of averages says that he's going to complete, you know, 1 out of 4. So
yeah, Stoops gets in the postgame and goes, well, he threw for 385. It's like, well, yeah, he was 14 of 51. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Like, that was not an efficient 385.
Yeah. Neil also taking State big. I think he has two SEC games this week, both 49 to 10. Huge. Might have been.
Wow. 49 to 10.
Yeah.
Huh?
49 to 10. It's crazy, isn't it?
Where do you think he got that? Like,
I don't
know. Huh? He must be looking at some really good computer simulations.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, Neil is, you know, really getting up in the world. He told me last week he was really studying numbers, diving in some analytics, mm-hmm. and I saw he was looking at yards per game. So he's
wow.
He's jumped into 1986. And
wow,
it's,
per game.
Yeah, yards per game. Not even per play yet, just per game.
Well, and we're not distinguishing. I'm sure we're not distinguishing between, you know, like, out of conference and in conference, I'm sure.
The SEC releases notes every week, and in those notes is yards per game. So Neil looks at yards per game.
Yeah, because he picks those up on Monday before the press conference.
Yeah.
Now it all, I see clearly now.
The SEC notes packet was sitting beside his chair yesterday as we began the podcast. So
I don't think I ever opened that one time in whatever 4 years that I was down there.
Yeah, the only thing I did respect is he does use it for scheduling when he's putting out the picks every week to line up the games. And I'll yes. give him a pass there.
Yes. Now, the problem, though, for us is that, like, when we go and try to, like, look up, like, who's the public betting on, all that, half the time, like, they're not organized by time. So then you're, like, you're just, I don't know. It's a massive reference nightmare.
Yeah, Neil doesn't like computer, like, reading things off computer and then writing them down. He and Mike Bianco share that. He needs it printed out and sitting beside him. So that's why the notes packet is the thing.
You could just stop with Neil doesn't like computer.
Okay, fair enough.
We have a man that has an internet business that doesn't like the internet.
That's true.
Or computers, or technology.
Yeah. Again, he was going to just throw his computer away instead of plugging up an HDMI cable a couple years ago. So.
Well, in fairness, that was a very complicated process that no one was willing to sit down and explain to him. Yeah.
Take a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you about Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, the creators of Sildenafil. $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill, same length of effectiveness. and get you ready in as little as 15 minutes. Whether you need the whole pill, half pill, or just a quarter of a pill, whatever you need, it is there for you. TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. Fill out the form online or give them a call. Give them your doctor's name, and they will get the prescription ready and even deliver it to you if you are not local. So, again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan is the place to go if you are in the market for a Nissan vehicle. They have fantastic lease deals. You drive less than 15,000 miles a year. You want to drive a new car and pay a 1990s price? You can do it at Grenada Nissan. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy Grass. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. Not only will they take great care of you, great service after the sale. They'll also give you Rebel savings on top of the great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. Now back to Chase's interview with Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
All right, number 24, LSU. Somehow they are ranked again. Plus, no, they are not plus 7. They are minus 7 at number 1 Ole Miss. Typo there. Unless Neil did that on purpose. I don't know in today's content item. I'm not sure what's on purpose and what's not. 615 ESPN. Neil having a little fun. Picks this one 4,258 to negative 3 in favor of the Rebels. I have it 34-23 Tigers, and you are 34-24 Tigers, so kind of on the same wavelength there.
Yeah, to me, first off, I would like to state for the record, Sean, if you're listening, I do not make my livelihood based on how Ole Miss does or does not do. I am an employee of a publicly traded company, so well, now that that's out there, it just comes down to the fact that when you look at Ole Miss, I still don't see how, you know, motion and speed to the edges that attacks linebackers, that's not going to be what they're going to stop. And while Ole Miss's offense was explosive last week, Vanderbilt still moved the ball, like, a lot. It's just they did force turnovers, and I don't see LSU, which has been fairly turnover free. I don't see how they end up. Like, that's the thing about Etling. Etling sucks, but Etling also, he's kind of self-aware that he sucks. So he basically is just like turnover averse. So I don't see them kind of putting themselves in bad situations. And then when you look at, man, I didn't realize how bad Vanderbilt's defense was. And statistically, you look at Vandy's defense, mm-hmm. They're like, wow, those guys are awful. You look at almost every time Ole Miss has played, you know, a top 25 to a top 40 defense, they've struggled to move the ball. I don't see them being able to run it on LSU a whole lot. And so without that added element, I think it's going to be a lot of third and longs. And we've seen with Ole Miss, they convert some, but they don't convert enough.
Yeah, the two stats that stick out to me based off last week's game and then looking ahead, number one, Ole Miss was really bad on third down last week. It got covered up because they scored so many points, yes, and they had big plays, but they were not good on third down. They're going to need to be good on third down. And then two, Vanderbilt was two missed field goals away from 41 points, and that's with a bad offensive line and Marquise Haynes having a great day. That's with Kyle Shurmur being Kyle Shurmur. And then as much as I joke around, Raph Webb is a step and a half slower than he was as a sophomore. He has so much tread off those tires after having to run behind a Vanderbilt offensive line for 4 years to where that offense isn't even as good as kind of I thought it was going in. So 41 points, Ole Miss bad on third down. I just kind of need to see it another week before I may potentially lay some points against the Hogs next week.
I mean, the problem that I have is that I still don't really believe LSU's good.
I know. I mean, they lost to Troy. Like,
but you did kind of talk me into this last week when you're like, okay, but who is good? Like, I mean, I'm with you. Like, we know Alabama's really good. Alabama's the best team. Georgia, in my opinion, is somewhere between the second and probably, what, the sixth, seventh best team?
Yeah, I mean, they're in that pile with Penn State, Ohio State, that group.
I mean, that's the whole argument that drives me insane. And I find myself somewhat defending the SEC in this. I hate when people say the league is bad. The league is bad. College football is bad. Like, if you don't believe me, start betting the board and start betting a game from every conference, because you will realize very quickly, like, college football is basically like 10 to 15 competent coaches and then a bunch of morons. And it's resulted in this product that is so bad that on a given week, it's just kind of a coin flip. I mean, that's what we're sitting here with, right?
No, that's absolutely what it is. You've got to pick out two or three numbers you like as in stats.
Yes.
You've got to look at some sort of matchup on the field. Okay, well, the running backs are really good. The linebackers are really bad. And then you've got to make a pick based off those little bitty parts of this game. Because in totality, it could go either way if you're just looking at whole teams.
Right. To me, what I usually try to do, and it's had marginal success this year, about four or five games over 500 is success. I try to figure out what does each team think they do best? Now, then you are trying to put yourself inside of the head of a freaking moron, usually like a glorified PE coach. And then you're trying to determine, okay, this is what they think they do best. And then you look at it from the other side of the equation. What is their opponent? Like, how will they be able to stop what the other team wants to do? Or how will they not be able to stop? And to me, you look at LSU. Okay, LSU is eye candy shifts, motions, and getting numbers on the edge and then using speed to beat you to the corner. I still don't think Ole Miss's defense is all that fast, do you?
No. I mean, their linebackers are fairly slow. That's not a good matchup for them, even though the one plus Ole Miss has from that standpoint and that part of this game is that LSU's offensive line is not very good. Everybody sees the purple and gold and go, oh, LSU really, really physical. They're starting a freshman at left tackle. They're starting multiple freshmen on the line. They're banged up. It's not a good offensive line.
No, I agree with you on that, but I still don't think Ole Miss's defensive line's any good.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a defensive line that everybody has come to know over the last few years. No way close.
Well, like, if we're going through, like, most disappointing aspect of the on-field football team, to me, it's the defensive line. Like, I've seen, you know, and I'm not even blaming Marquise Haynes, because part of Marquise Haynes' lack of success early on was, holy hell, who played him at that out of position?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, speaking of, let's find out what a guy does well. Like, okay, we have this guy that is an elite-level pass rusher. Let's put him in linebacker.
Instead of line up on the end, rush ahead, do what you do well, and let's see what happens.
Yes. Like, what is the tried and true formula for success for Marquise Haynes? No, let's get him in coverage.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, LSU's really good in the defensive backfield. We'll see. I mean,
by the way, if you told me Ole Miss not only keeps it close, if you told me Ole Miss ends up winning the game, I'm not going, you're high.
No.
I don't think LSU's that good, but I'm just saying, from the matchup perspective, if you look at what, like, best versus best, I think LSU's best attacks Ole Miss's weakness better than Ole Miss's strength attacks LSU's weakness.
Yeah, because LSU's strength is their defensive backfield, defensively.
Exactly.
Last game before we get you out of here, number 21, Auburn, 9 is 14.5. Arkansas, 6:30, SEC Network in Fayetteville. Austin Allen likely out again. I have no idea what his status will be next week for Ole Miss. Gus needs this one, and Gus needs this one with a little bit of optics to it.
Can we just bet the first half?
You'd really like that one, wouldn't you?
I mean, first off, I do love when Gus does him some thinking. That's always good, because when Gus does him some thinking, it gets special because Gus really believes that he's really smart, when in reality, he's barely I would say if you're looking at the bell curve, I'd say he's left center of the bell curve. And when he does some thinking, it really results like in just spectacular must-watch TV. Unfortunately, it's terrible to bet on because he starts thinking that his defense is like the 85 Bears or like that 2000 Baltimore Ravens team. Mm-hmm. And he basically just tries to end the game in the second quarter. It's a bold strategy in 2017, but it doesn't usually yield the greatest of results for the betting the entire game. But first half, it's usually pretty awesome because they usually just come out in their first like five possessions, usually put up, you know, somewhere between 24 and 30 points. But the rest of the game, not so much. So basically what you're betting on is, like you said, he needs a statement because his hot seat kind of changes temperatures from week to week. And right now it's back. What would you say? Well, are we back to like a 7 now?
Well, with two games creeping up on the schedule that he's going to lose with Georgia and Alabama. Two.
Yes. So
the two teams he hasn't beaten.
Right. So we're at a 7. Oh, God. I didn't even realize they're going to go 8-4. Like that was the thing. Like, we'd kind of talked ourselves into Auburn was good. And now we're sitting here going, oh, yeah, this team's going to at least lose four games.
Yeah, they're a misstep from 7-5 and fired.
Yes. I mean, does 8-4 keep his gig?
Well, I mean, Neil and I were discussing with Jay Tate earlier in the year whether 9-3 would keep his gig if he lost to Georgia and Alabama.
I mean, at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, that's who you're judged against.
I mean, let this thing go back real quick. I know you got to go. You got at Arkansas. Next week, they go to College Station.
Yeah, but I don't.
I think they win. But if they don't, let's just say they don't.
Right.
LSU,
I mean, again,
lost.
I'm not saying, come on.
Arkansas, they're going to beat Arkansas. A&M, and then Georgia, La Monroe, and Alabama.
That's 7-5 with losses to Clemson. Okay, we can forgive that one. LSU on the road, that was inexcusable. You tried to run the game out in the second quarter. Like, but I will give Gus this. Shout out to Gus. He admitted that that's what he did. He admitted on Monday that he didn't think they could score against his defense, so he just tried to end the game.
Saw that. Yeah. Credit
there. I will give him credit. Like, you're a dumbass, but at least you admit that you're a dumbass.
Yeah, they could go 2-4 down the stretch.
And that basically leaves them – you're already down to Georgia and Alabama have clearly better programs than you do currently. And you're at this weird point where A&M has A&M passed them? I mean, A&M's hiring a new guy. I mean, that's the thing. Then it gets into this intriguing debate. What if you're in a hiring competition against A&M?
Ooh. A&M has more resources.
A&M has more resources, but
Nick Saban's in your state. He's not in A&M state.
It is the interesting. It's the interesting debate. It's like, okay, well, I mean, I think I'd rather go up against Tom Herman in Texas versus Saban in Alabama.
Yeah, geographically, and their two biggest rivals, they would be stuck in the middle of potentially the two programs on the biggest upswing in the league between Kirby Smart and Nick Saban.
The issue that you're gambling on is that Neil's idea of Saban's time is coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what you're betting on, right?
Well, that'd be all you could bet on. Yeah. And then they make a hire, and no matter who it is, they fall off because you're going to fall off.
You would think. I'm still convinced that if Alabama keeps the machine as is and they keep.
Well, fall off might be 9-3, 10-2, 11-1 in three straight years. I mean, that's still a fall off.
What I'm saying is, if Alabama keeps the system in place, I don't think Nick Saban's this type of football coach that he's like some unmatched genius. The genius of Saban is he was the guy that could demand, I want all you people out of here. I'm doing this my way. Everything I want. Like, in my opinion, it's like the way that the variables are set up at Alabama, I don't think Nick Saban's the only guy in the country that could be as successful as he is.
Yeah.
Now, you can't set that. Jeffrey Wright can't come in and say, I want this, 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 and this, and have it happen. Like, that's the point. Like, they were desperate and wanted Nick Saban, so Saban is the person that gets to reap the benefits, and that's the way the
perfect
world
guy at perfect time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
But do you really think Dabo couldn't do roughly the same thing?
No, he'd be the same dude-ish. Be close.
I mean, Urban Meyer's more or less doing the same thing at Ohio State. It's just Saban has access to more players.
I mean, with that machine, Harbaugh would do the same thing.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, I don't think Nick Saban's I don't think he's completely irreplaceable.
Yeah. I just think replacing that aura is a thing, no matter what, because everybody expects you to whatever.
I mean, we saw when Spurrier left Florida.
Yeah.
No one wanted to. They had to hire Ron Zook.
Yeah, everybody said, nah, thanks. We'll replace the next guy.
Jeremy Foley went on a plane to Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
With cameras. Like, there were cameras, and he didn't, like, it just didn't work. Yeah.
All right, I'm assuming some Grizz themes today. Who y'all talking to?
Grizz themes. We'll also discuss the NFL with Stephen White of SB Nation. Laura Rutledge, the lovely Laura Rutledge, will join us during the second hour. But today, I imagine the theme of the day will be what you and I started off with. Can we boo Chandler Parsons?
Yeah, fair enough. All right, have a good day, Jeffrey.
All right, buddy.
Thanks to Jeffrey always for his Thursday segment. The podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, MasterCuts full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. Also, all of North Mississippi with Skeeter Beaters, the way to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes. Enjoy your outside space. Get a free quote, 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com. And remember, as the holiday season is getting close, they'll put up your holiday lights for you. I use them. You should too. And when you mention the podcast, sign an annual contract. First cut is free.
Don't forget, Ole Miss basketball season tickets available. OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Ole Miss and LSU Saturday night at Vaught-Hemingway at 6:15. You can also go to OleMissTix.com to see what is still available for the Rebels and the Tigers. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide. It gives you all the technology and products you want, but it does it with a personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's the sponsor of my 10-weekend thoughts, which will be up, good Lord willing, sometime Sunday. And go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click through what you're looking for. If you come into town this weekend and you're kind of thinking about doing the second home, the condo thing, as I know a lot of people are. I know people are saying the market's not good. Harry says it is, and he can give you the numbers to back that up. Get in touch with him, ha@harryalexander.com. And last but not least, podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in the state. His website is gotland.com. That's got-land.com. If you're a buyer, Michael Oswalt has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home. He'll tell you what he does. He'll market your property, and he'll get it sold. He'll do what it takes. The market is hot. He'll put drones in the sky for drone videos. Whatever he needs to do, Michael will put his money where his mouth is and get your property sold. It's a great time to be looking for or selling your recreational property. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Last week, you had a problem with Rob Cassidy's take on certain Halloween candies. Today, I am trying to argue with his ranking the imposing horror villains in movies. but having a really hard time arguing with him. So I was really wanting to be offended, and I kind of am finding myself agreeing with him. So there's that. You're not a horror movie guy, so you wouldn't get into this.
Yeah, I'm the guy that will freely admit to you, and I guess this, I'm handing over my part of my man card here, maybe the whole damn thing. They make me so squirmish, and I just don't watch them.
Psychological thrillers, or do you mean even like just slasher films where you know it's stupid and they're just running around like almost on moral devices?
I don't like those. The psychological ones freak me out. I'm more apt to watch those because it's more. I'm my brain is more engaged.
But those are much spookier.
Huh?
Those are much spookier, though, than, oh, crazy supernatural dude with a knife. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. It's just not my thing.
Where I wanted to be offended is he has Michael Myers number 5 from Halloween. He has Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th, obviously, number 1. Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, number 2. Little lesser known Pinhead from Hellraiser, number 3. Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, number 4, and then Michael Myers, 5. Halloween is the most iconic horror movie, and he admits that. It's also the movie where it's not necessarily people doing things wrong and getting killed. It was just bad things happen because bad things happen sometimes, which at the time, incredibly freaky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, Friday the 13th, it's a dude who, if you shoot him, he doesn't die, and he came up out of the water, and he's a supernatural dude with a hockey mask on. But for the most part, he was only killing kids or teenagers who were drinking, or, you know what I mean? Like, they were having sex or something. Like, it was all these things they were doing morally wrong that was getting them killed. Michael Myers was the guy that goes, hey, you're around, so I'm going to stick a knife in your head. A little different element there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
I'll let you and Rob. I'll be happy to get Rob on the show. And
I wish I had seen it prior to talking to Jeffrey, actually. Always next week, always Monday, Tuesday, whatever. So
yeah, well, we can make that happen as we get closer to Halloween.
I know. I like talking horror movies. All right. Let's see. Where do we want to close? Did you listen to much of Kennedy yesterday?
I did.
What'd you think?
He loves this team.
He does like this team.
That's what I think. I think he likes it. What does that mean? I don't know. Can they stay healthy? I don't know. I mean, ask the Boston Celtics about loving a team. I mean, it can all go to hell in the first 5 minutes of a season. But I think if they're healthy, he thinks this is a tournament team. That's what I think. I think if he thinks they have reasonable health, this is a tournament team. That's what I think.
We talked about yesterday, we'll close here too. Still find it interesting that he does not get more benefit of the doubt just because the national media likes him.
Yeah. The national media likes him. You know how this is. First of all, there's Jerry Tipton, whose opinion I would take seriously.
You're making the point here. I saw Corey Keyes make it yesterday, too. SEC media is covering football right now. They don't know a damn thing about college basketball right now.
No, so it's just kind of based on sort of what they think they've always done, even though Ole Miss the last decade has been one of the better half of the programs. They do it every year, and I thought about going just because I like SEC basketball. I like basketball, but can't really justify the expense in the middle of October. I mean, it's football season. And people don't, and when I say people, I mean the media, they really don't turn their attention to basketball until, frankly, sometime in December.
Yeah.
Even though for Ole Miss, I mean, some of the games they're going to play in November are potentially every bit as important as the games they're going to play in February. But it is what it is. I don't know. I mean, I think the people that take preseason polls seriously are just, God bless them. I mean, I'm not criticizing. It just is what it is. If you're taking preseason polls seriously, you probably should take a step back. because it's impossible. And the people that are doing the polls outside of a couple of people literally don't know what the hell they're doing and would almost probably admit it to you.
Yeah.
If you'd handed me, and I keep up with it pretty good, if you'd handed me a ballot in Nashville and said, do a preseason poll, I would have said, no, I don't know enough about the teams yet. It's not possible. Now, I'd let Jerry Tipton do it, with Lexington Herald Leader. He probably could tell you all 14 starting lineups and the three or four kids off each bench.
Yeah, that dude's a horse. Roles.
So I'd let him do it.
Jerry's rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet Jerry had Ole Miss higher than 10th.
See Rick Pitino's interview?
I did not. I have not seen it. I want to see it, but I did not get a chance yesterday.
Says he passed a lie detector test, and he also mentioned that he answers to God.
Okay.
So.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I don't believe him.
No. Not even a little
bit,
really.
Him?
No. Okay. No. Whatever. All right. Beer Garden, Larry Holder, soft verbal with Jacob Peeler, Ole Miss wide receivers coach, and we will talk to Ryan Brown tomorrow on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Neil has game five tonight.
Yeah, right. Game five tonight. I was happy last night. They're not going to win the series. It's probably going to end tonight. But I was glad to see them avoid the sweep, play hard, make some big outs. Wade Davis had to throw 48 pitches. The Dodgers grind you. They're a really, really good team. They're going to win the pennant at some point this weekend, and they deserve it. But for whatever reason, Chase, last night was it was a happy win. They won, and I was really pleased. I enjoyed that game far more than I thought I would. It was good to see them kind of have some heart.
That's fair. Who's pitching?
It's Kershaw versus Quintana, which on the surface you go, oh, God. But the Cubs actually over the last 2 years have done fairly well against Kershaw. He kicked their ass one time in the NLCS last year. But the Cubs have gotten to him pretty much the last few times they faced him. They knocked him out of a start in June. They hit him pretty good in game two. Of course, they beat him in game six last year to win the pennant. So we'll see. I don't know. He's not the kind of pitcher that overwhelms the Cubs. The guys that overwhelm the Cubs are the hard-throwing right-handers.
Money line on this one, if you're curious what Vegas thinks. The Dodgers are minus 155, meaning bet 155 to win 100. And the Cubs are 145, meaning bet 100, win 145.
That's about right. Yeah, I think the Dodgers
one and a half to one ish.
If it were a football game, the Dodgers would be like a 4-point favorite.
If I had to put a money line on it, though, I want the Cubs. I get Quintana. You never know. One game.
Oh, I mean, if he can be remotely efficient, which is very, very hard against the Dodgers, I think he has a chance to have success. But that's what they do. You look up and the Dodgers haven't scored a run in five innings, but your starter's thrown 107 pitches.
Right.
That's their greatness. And then they wear you out, and then they hit you that third time through the lineup because you're just not as sharp, because they've really made you pile up pitches. And that's what they do well. It's to their credit.
The Ole Miss LSU line has not moved. It remains LSU minus 7, by the way. We'll see.
Let the record show I'm the only one of the three of us that picked the Rebels.
You did pick the Rebels. You also messed up the line. You have Ole Miss a 7-point favorite in the header.
Well, I have them covering the 7. So there.
That's a good point. All right, Ryan Brown tomorrow. More on the site at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you on Friday.